Welcome to the Bible Answer Man broadcast with Christian Research Institute President Hank Hanegraaff. Our mission at CRI is not only to equip you with sound biblical teaching and spiritual discernment, but to help you become a winsome and fruitful witness of Jesus Christ. Because the credibility of our faith hinges on the answers we provide to life's biggest questions, there's often not a second chance to get those answers right. If you are struggling with a question and an answer has been elusive, please call in now at 888-ASK-HANK. That's 888-275-4265. For more information about CRI and the Bible Answer Man broadcast, go to our website at equip.org. And now, here's Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy. And I'm in studio with my daughter, Christina, my colleague, Stephen Ross. And we're doing today's broadcast not only on the radio, terrestrial radio and satellite radio, but also we're doing the broadcast today on the Bible Answer Man Facebook page. So you can see the broadcast as well as hear the broadcast. Obviously, if you're driving, we're not suggesting that you watch this. Although the technology is there to do these kinds of things, obviously we don't want you to do that. I want to start out the broadcast today by simply telling our radio audience and those listening in on Facebook about my book, Muslim, What You Need to Know About the World's Fastest Growing Religion. Islam is the only significant religious system in the history of the human race, with a socio-political structure of laws that mandate violence against the infidel. And that graphic global reality makes Islam a religious ideology that espouses terrorism as a permanent policy, not just as a temporary expedient. And that is a historical reality from the early 7th century Medina massacres to the 9/11 21st century Manhattan massacre and beyond. And you don't need to be a prophet to predict continuing terrorist attacks throughout the West. And that's not just in the EU countries, but that will continue to be in the US as well. And part of the problem is the current narrative, a narrative which is that to tell the truth with respect to global Islamic jihadism, well, that's tantamount to radicalizing Muslims and then exacerbating hostilities that might otherwise lay dormant. And while Sharia acknowledges that the greater jihad is spiritual warfare against the lower self, against the nafs, most of Sharia law is actually devoted to prescribing war against non-Muslims. For example, there are some words in my book, Muslim, What You Need to Know About the World's Fastest Growing Religion, that are taken verbatim from Reliance of the Traveler, which is a classic manual of Islamic sacred law endorsed by top modern-day Islamic scholars, and I'd also add certified by the Sunni Muslim world's oldest and most prestigious institution of higher Islamic learning. So this is a quote. It comes from, I think I can find this on page 77 of my book, Muslim, What You Need to Know About the World's Fastest Growing Religion. Again, this is word for word from Reliance of the Traveler, which is a classic manual of Islamic sacred law. And I'm quoting here. The scriptural basis for jihad, prior to scholarly consensus, is such Quranic verses as, fighting is prescribed for you. Slay them wherever you find them. Fight the idolaters utterly. By the way, that's Quran chapter 9. And such hadith as the one related by Bukhari and Muslim, two incredibly important resources in Islam, Bukhari and Muslim, that the Prophet Allah bless him and give him peace, said, I have been commanded to fight people until they testify that there is no God but Allah and that, well, that Muhammad is the messenger of Allah, and perform the prayer and pay zakat. That's sort of the gangster protection racket. If they say it, they have saved their blood and possessions from me, except for the rights of Islam over them. And their final reckoning is with Allah and the hadith reported by Muslim to go forth in the morning or evening to fight in the path of Allah is better than the whole world and everything in it. Again, this from a classic manual of Islamic sacred law. So when you see people shouting, Allahu Akbar, don't think that that is some kind of an anomaly. This is the belief in Islam that Allah is greater. A lot of media elites will tell you that if you interpret this properly, it's interpreted Allah is great. That's simply not true. The import of the words are Allah is greater. Allah is greater than the Christian God. Allah is greater than all else. And this, of course, is simply false because Allah is the, it is the figment of Muhammad's fertile imagination. It is Muhammad's alter ego. Again, I've written about all of that in Muslim, What You Need to Know About the World's Fastest Growing Religion, the book available for those who support the ministry of the Christian Research Institute, the Bible Answer Man broadcast, and our outreach is 24/7 around the world. Of course, today is Reformation Day, and I'm going to give the quote of the day in the third segment of the broadcast today. I want to take some calls as they're coming in. The number to dial, 888-ASK-HANK, numerically 888-275-4265. We'll take a call from the radio, then we'll take a Facebook live call as well, the Bible Answer Man Facebook page, where you can give us your questions and your comments and so forth. Anita, Calgary, Alberta, Canada, listening on CHRB. Hi, Anita.
Hi. I'm kind of switching gears on you.
Sure.
My question is regarding a Jehovah Witness. So uh-huh. I do meet with one once a week for the past 2 years, I feel like I haven't gotten anywhere. But anyway, one of her accusations, we could say, is why does the Christian Bible take Jehovah's name out of the Bible? And the other question is idols and accusing that the cross is an idol and that we bow to the cross in the church. So I will leave that with you and I will listen to your answer on the radio.
Sure. Yeah. And of course, Protestants, Catholics, Orthodox, Christians of all stripes do not take Jehovah out of the Bible. I mean, remember, words and phrases in Scripture are not univocal, they're equivocal. They take on the meaning that the context allows for them to have. And so Jehovah is a context that communicates the supremacy of the Lord. And whether you use Lord or Jehovah, we're talking about precisely the same thing. So again, the real issue is not the word you use, but the meaning that you pour into the word. As far as idols are concerned, the cross is not an idol. I wear a cross around my neck. If you're listening or watching on the Bible Answer Man Facebook page, you can see I'm holding my cross. I just pulled it out of my shirt. But I wear a cross, and this cross is not an idol for me. It is a reminder for me that I am to take up my cross and daily follow Christ. It is a reminder that I am not ashamed of the cross. And I've demonstrated this on many occasions on shows that I've done that are visual, that in our tradition, in the Orthodox tradition, we oftentimes bow down and we touch the ground. And when we do that, we come up And then we make the sign of the cross. And this is not a superstitious act on the part of Christians. What that is in reality is a way of saying to the world, I'm not ashamed of the gospel. I'm taking up my cross and I'm daily following Jesus Christ, which is what happens when we become believers. We say, I'm taking up my cross. I'm daily following Jesus Christ. He is my Lord. He is my Savior. And I am now a co-consummator of the kingdom. I'm involved in perpetuating the kingdom by my witness, by my testimony, by my lips, by my life, and by my love. Much more could be said. I've written about this in various places, including the Complete Bible Answer Book, Collector's Edition, Revised and Updated, which you can find on the web at equip.org. Again, the book available for those who support the ministry of the Christian Research Institute. I know we get questions on ghosts all the time on this broadcast as well, and I was noticing, I can't find it exactly right now, but I was noticing that people were calling in and asking about my perspective on ghosts. And a short remark in that regard, which is to say that from my perspective, ghosts are mythology. There is no such thing as ghosts. Demons are real, and they will play on our superstitions, but there's no such things as ghosts. I mean, there's no way that when a person dies, they can come back into this world and then spook the living. But again, demons are very real. And I've written about this in various places and talk about how demons can, in fact, sit, as it were, on our shoulder and whisper into our ears. The whisper is not heard by the physical ear, but it can penetrate the ear of the mind. So we need to be very clear about this. It's important for us not to buy into superstition. It's also important for us to put on the full armor of God so that we can take our stand against principalities and powers of darkness, because they are very, very real as the very flesh upon our bones. They're non-physical, but nonetheless, they're real.
Yeah, and I don't know who said it, if it was C.S. Lewis, or he said that, somebody said that the greatest lie Satan ever told is that he wasn't real, because that puts us off guard and we don't protect ourselves or are not aware of being careful at things like Halloween, where some people don't understand what it means to play with the spirits or to invoke things. Like, people don't understand what they're playing with. And if you don't have the Holy Spirit that's protecting you, that can be a very dangerous game.
You know what? You just put your finger on the essence of it right there, Christina, because that's absolutely true. And what you find when you look at the full armor of God is precisely what you said. The full armor of God begins not with Satan's power to pillage, but rather with God's power to protect. And I've often said that if we put on the full armor of God, we're invincible in spiritual warfare. If we do not, we're guaranteed casualties. So what is the full armor of God? Well, read about it in Ephesians chapter 6, verses 10 through 20. It starts with the belt of truth. And this is particularly important because we live in an age in which internet lies travel halfway around the world before truth has had the chance to put its boots on. And we see this so often in what is called today fake news. And that fake news not only permeates the secular world, but also permeates the Christian world. And I am so surprised at Christians who buy into lies and slander uncritically. This is a complete lack of discernment skills. We ought to not buy into the subterfuge that we find on the web. Rather, we ought to stand for truth. The moment the belt of truth uncouples, as it were, the garment that protects us falls to the ground. It leaves us naked and vulnerable. So critical that we do not buy into lies, that we do not buy into misinformation, but rather that we stand for truth no matter what the cost, that we follow truth wherever it leads. And as we say on the Bible Answer Man broadcast through the ministry of the Christian Research Institute, we do what we do because life and truth matter, and we thank everyone that stands shoulder to shoulder with us in the battle for life and truth. We're going to check out on the radio broadcast in a few seconds, but we're going to continue on the Bible Answer Man Facebook live page. You can join us there if you're literate with computers, which I'm getting to be. We'll be right back in just a few moments with our radio audience as well on terrestrial and satellite radio. And again, thanks for standing shoulder to shoulder with us in the battle for life and truth.
With 1,600,000,000 strong and growing, Islam is poised to fill a vacuum left by a Western culture slouching inexorably towards Gomorrah. Demographics alone are alarming. While polygamist Muslims boast a robust birth rate, native Westerners are moving rapidly towards self-extinction. Filling the void are multiplied millions of Muslims who have no intention of assimilating into Western culture. But there is one real solution to a disintegrating West and resurgent Islam. It is the power of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Read Hank Hanegraaff's new book, Muslim, What You Need to Know About the World's Fastest Growing Religion. To receive your copy as our thanks for your financial partnership, simply call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches. 888-7000-CRI. Or visit equip.org. We'll be back in just a moment with more from Hank Hanegraaff. The Christian Research Journal is CRI's award-winning magazine, combining eye-catching design with well-researched articles to equip believers in doctrine, defense, and discernment. Here's what's in the latest issue of the Christian Research Journal. For many Christians, the reality of God is so obvious and undeniable that we're amazed anyone could seriously doubt it. And yet, many do. How can we help such people recognize what seems to be so apparent to us? James N. Anderson highlights six aspects of everyone's life that can be explained only if God exists. Other topics include, was there a Jewish temple in ancient Jerusalem? The irony of 13 reasons why, and much more. Start your subscription to the Christian Research Journal today by calling 888-7000-CRI or subscribe online at equip.org. So rapid and pandemic has been the decline of biblical literacy and spiritual discernment that our once unimaginable post-truth culture is effectively becoming an anti-truth culture. While the sun is setting on the Western Church, Islam is now the fastest growing religion in the world. This means that it's not simply enough to be aware of this threat. Christians need to wake up, stand up, and speak up. This means being able to counter the outright lies about Islam that otherwise will go unchecked with horrendous consequences. And that's what Hank Hanegraaff's book, Muslim, What You Need to Know About the World's Fastest Growing Religion, will enable you to do. To receive your copy as our appreciation for your financial partnership, call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's many outreaches. 888-7000-CRI or visit equip.org. Has God spoken? Are the words of Scripture merely human in origin, or are they in fact the very words of God Himself? 3 years in the making and based on 2 decades of research and reflection, Hank Hanegraaff's monumental book, Has God Spoken?, answers what is surely the most important question facing our world. In Has God Spoken? Memorable Proofs of the Bible's Divine Inspiration, Hank counters the contentions of the Bible attackers and clearly shows that belief in the Holy Scriptures is not a guess or wishful thinking. It is the only logical conclusion after an honest examination of overwhelming evidence. Order Has God Spoken? From the Christian Research Institute by calling 888-7000-CRI or go online to equip.org. Equip.org.
grave is the specter of global Islamic jihadism now exacting mass genocide on Christians in the East and ever-multiplying terrorist attacks throughout the West. Worse still, Western governments, academic institutions, and media outlets seem bent on exporting a false narrative respecting the religious animus animating global Islamic jihadism. In Muslim, What You Need to Know About the World's Fastest Growing Religion, Hank Hanegraaff not only outlines the problems in accessible and memorable fashion, but moves toward potential solutions in the clash of civilizations. Receive your copy of Muslim as our appreciation for your financial partnership. Simply call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's many outreaches. 888-7000-CRI or visit equip.org. Let's return to your host, Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy, and just excited to be able to do the Bible Answer Man broadcast at the same time as doing Facebook on the Bible Answer Man Facebook page. I want to do a video on Halloween. I dressed up in my favorite costume, and I talked about Halloween, its implications, where it derived from, whether we ought to be involved in it or not be involved in it, and the silver lining. Here's what I had to say. And by the way, you can get this if you sign up for the e-truth that I send daily to people. You can find that on the homepage at equip.org. Here's the video. Well, it's that time of the year again. It's Halloween, and a lot of people are asking me the question, what should a Christian do? How should a Christian respond to Halloween? So I thought I'd get dressed up in a Halloween costume, kind of fake being a golfer again. Haven't played a golf for about a year, but I can fake it. So here's the issue. Should we participate in Halloween? Should we accommodate Halloween, or should we vigorously denounce Halloween? Let me answer that question by giving you just a little background. Halloween, it's rooted in an ancient Celtic feast called Samhain. This was a feast in which the Druids believed that the veil between the present world and the world to come was pierced. And in the piercing was the releasing of demons and witches and hobgoblins in order to harass the living. So what should the living do? Well, they ought to try to make themselves immune from attack by disguising themselves as witches, as devils, or as ghouls. Or they ought to ward off evil spirits by carving grotesque faces on gourds and then illuminating those gourds with candles. Or another possibility is to placate the spirits with a variety of treats. I would say this. The Christian response is to learn from the early Christian church. How did they respond to Halloween? Well, October 31st, the eve prior to All Saints' Day, it was designated as a spiritually edifying holiday or holy day on which to proclaim the supremacy of the gospel over the superstition of ghosts. And therefore, All Hallows' Eve, or All Saints' Eve, from which we derive the word Halloween, this was an attempt on the part of the early Christian church to overwhelm the tradition of ghouls with the truth of the gospel. Well, today, I have to admit it, and I think you can certainly understand this, Halloween is once again predominantly pagan. But, as always, there is a silver lining. The trick is to treat Halloween as a strategic opportunity rather than a time of satanic oppression. And I always think about Hebrews chapter 12. Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles and let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us, looking unto Jesus Christ, the author and the perfecter of our faith, who, for the joy set before him, endured the cross, scorning its shame. This Halloween, let's look at the day as an opportunity to do what the early church did. Take the oppression and turn it into an opportunity.
And that video is available to people that go to equip.org. They can find the video on our homepage, but you can also subscribe to the Daily E-Truths, and I've been doing them for a long time, but we're starting to do the Daily E-Truths not only in audio format, but also in video format. So I'm doing a lot more of these videos, and again, you can find them at equip.org.
Yeah. Well, do you want to take a Facebook question, or do you want to take
let's take a Facebook question.
Okay. So he got Tristan, he's a guy from South Africa, I believe, studying theology. I completely agree with you. I think he's talking about with your response on Halloween. But he's saying the invocation of spirits during Halloween is wrong. But is that wrong to dress up and join trick-or-treating? Because after all, it comes from Catholicism with regard to soul cakes.
Well, actually, you know, the origin of Halloween, as I just mentioned in the video, does not come from Catholicism. It predates Catholicism. But the actual idea here, I shouldn't say it predates Catholicism. Well, that's a whole can of worms. So I'm going to stay away from the actual dating because I could get into a long discussion on that. But here's the deal. I mean, as I said, it goes back to the ancient Druid feast of Samhain. And but what did the Christian church do? The early Christian church used this as an opportunity, again, a strategic opportunity. So the Christian church was not trying to sanitize that which was pagan. They were establishing a rival celebration. And I think that's what we ought to do, is we ought to use every single opportunity we have as a springboard to share the truth and the love and the grace that only Jesus Christ can bring to the human heart.
So are you okay with kids dressing up as like different, like a princess?
Well, let me ask you.
Have you
ever gone out on Halloween?
Yes,
have
my
I
father
ever stopped
let me.
You? Okay. So are some of our kids going out? I mean, probably a few of them are going out tonight, right?
Yeah, they are.
Okay, so that's the answer
to
the question.
I know that, but they don't know that.
Okay, so I'm saying I have never, ever tried to stop you from bringing me Twix bars on Halloween. So
I'm trying to get Xander to bring me home some candy. Yeah. We'll see if he actually does it.
Yeah, me too. I mean, I'm not supposed to be eating candy, but tonight I'm going to go crazy.
You know, some people in our neighborhood actually give out health bars and like little salad things.
Oh,
it's
sure.
Like, come on, sure, it's Halloween.
I'm sure Kathy loves this, and that is not Kathy. I know Kathy's watching right now. By the way, she is the most incredible woman in the world. Is it okay for me to put a little plug in for my wife?
Sure, I don't care. I mean, you can do what you want.
If it were not for Kathy, I mean, she's unbelievable. She's the most selfless person I've ever met in my life. And she's still in love with Chemo Boy. Which
that's
is kind of cool.
That's such a funny title.
Yeah. Well, I call myself Chemo Boy.
Yeah.
You just have to look. You know, I'm Chemo Boy.
Yeah, but it's a good thing. Because we've seen so much of how God's working in you through being Chemo Boy.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Okay. And so here, I'm just going to read this. Greg Shep, really touched by this. Dear Hank, I'm so proud of you. You're truly an example of what unfaithering faith looks like. You're a testament to me. God has placed you on display for such a time as this so that the world can see what unwavering faith looks like. Your father looks down. This is why this touched me so much. I was just scanning this during the break. Your father looks down and smiles upon your faithfulness. And you look up above and know he has your back. Hank, he has put you on this earth, and your gifting is a blessing to so many people. It made a major impact on my life as a man of God, and I thank God for you. I truly believe in order for someone to have a proper image of anything, first the image must be seen. You're the real deal. You've been placed on this earth to solve one of the biggest problems ever known to man. The problem that you are solving is the separation from God and the reconciliation back to the one who knitted us together in our mother's womb. Keep up the good work. I pray for you daily, and may God continue to smile upon you. And you know, I didn't read this whole thing. I was just sort of scanning it before. I'm glad I just wrote it or read it right now. But thank you, Greg. This is so touching to me because my dad was faithful all his life. And he faced a lot of opposition in his life, but he was always faithful, and he always taught me to do whatever I do for an audience of one. So people can say whatever they want to say, but the fact of the matter is I'm going to stand before God and give an account for what I did in my life. And so I have to be pleasing to God. Now, obviously, as everyone ought to know, I'm imperfect in so many different ways. So I'm certainly... If people say bad things about me, it's of no concern to me whatsoever because I realize that I'm a sinner. But what I am concerned about is what God thinks, because when you stand and face your own mortality, that's the only thing that ultimately matters. Let's take a radio question. Chris, Palm Desert, California. Hi, Chris.
Hi, Hank. Hey, I'm dating myself a little bit, but about almost 40 years ago, I took a course in apologetics from Dr. Montgomery.
Wow.
And one night he sent, he couldn't be at class, so he sent Dr. Martin in his place. And we got into a discussion that night about Islam. And Dr. Martin made it so simple for us. He said, look, you've got a reliable historical document in Scripture in the New Testament. And you come up with something written hundreds of years later that's inconsistent with it. Well, from a historical perspective only, the Bible has to win out. But he said, now, the only problem with that is that with Islam, that is purportedly also to be Scripture. And then Dr. Martin hit us with, okay, and we know it's Scripture because it was written by the prophet Muhammad. And we know that Muhammad is a prophet because it's written in the Quran. So not only did he just look at it from a historical perspective, but he also showed us that there was just a little bit of begging the question going on with trying to actually showed that the Quran was in any way God's word.
Sure, and let me just comment on that really quickly because we're going to break. On the one hand, we see in the Quran that it is replete with factual errors and faulty ethics. With the Bible, what you find in Scripture corresponds to reality, and therefore it is trustworthy, not only in terms of its content, but we can know that this is the Word of God. It corresponds. What you find in Scripture corresponds to what we find in the soil. So archaeology has been a great way of demonstrating that the Bible is divine as opposed to merely human in origin. Many other things could be said, including prophetic words of prophecy that correspond to reality as well. We're coming up to a break. I'll continue on the Bible Answer Man Facebook Live page.
We live in what Oz Guinness calls an ABC moment, anything but Christianity, a moment in which Christianity is routinely ridiculed and Islam is referred to with reverential tones. Yet ABC can also serve to remind us that the solution for regaining Western civilization and defeating global Islamic jihadism is ultimately grounded in answers, biblical literacy, and countering cults. This is the task of the Christian Church, the pillar and ground of truth. Find out more in Hank Hanegraaff's new book, Muslim, What You Need to Know About the World's Fastest Growing Religion. To receive your copy as our appreciation for your financial partnership, simply call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches, 888-7000-CRI. Or visit equip.org. Hank Hanegraaff will be back right after this.
Has God spoken? Are the words of Scripture merely human in origin, or are they in fact the very words of God Himself? 3 years in the making and based on two decades of research and reflection, Hank Hanegraaff's monumental book, Has God Spoken?, answers what is surely the most important question facing our world. In Has God Spoken? Memorable Proofs of the Bible's Divine Inspiration, Hank counters the contentions of the Bible attackers and clearly shows that belief in the Holy Scriptures is not a guess or wishful thinking. It is the only logical conclusion after an honest examination of overwhelming evidence. Order Has God Spoken? From the Christian Research Institute by calling 888-7000-CRI or go online to equip.org. Equip.org. The history of Islam is one of wanton carnage and horrific oppression, and it has been whitewashed beyond recognition by our politically correct elites. According to credible sources, 120 million Africans, 80 million Hindus, 60 million Christians, 10 million Buddhists have been slaughtered in the name of Islam. And that doesn't include the millions of Muslims killed by other Muslims. Islam is the only significant religious system in the history of the human race with a socio-political structure of laws that mandate violence against the infidel. Read Hank Hanegraaff's stunning book, Muslim, What You Need to Know About the World's Fastest Growing Religion. Receive your copy as our appreciation for your financial partnership when you call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches, 888-7000-CRI, or visit equip.org. The Christian Research Journal is CRI's award-winning magazine, combining eye-catching design with well-researched articles to equip believers in doctrine, defense, and discernment. Here's what's in the latest issue of the Christian Research Journal. Hank Hanegraaff explains that while politically correct culture is quick to point out discrimination and abuse of women in other respects, there has been a deafening silence when it comes to the systematic oppression of women under Islamic Sharia law. Other topics include, God made us so that He could be our Father in a way that reflects His fatherly relationship to His only Son, the rational inescapability of God. Was there a Jewish temple in ancient Jerusalem? And much more. Start your subscription to the Christian Research Journal today by calling 888-7000-CRI or subscribe online at equip.org. Ideas have consequences, and in the case of Islam, the consequences historically have been unimaginably brutal. To believe that Islam is a religion of peace is a potentially fatal fiction. This is the time for naive and trusting Christians to take their heads out of the sand. True Islam has zero appreciation for the freedoms of Western democracies and would substitute the dehumanizing oppression of Sharia law in a heartbeat if given the chance. Read Hank Hanegraaff's stunning new book, Muslim, What You Need to Know About the World's Fastest Growing Religion. To receive your copy as our appreciation for your financial partnership, simply call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's many outreaches, 888-7000-CRI, or visit equip.org. Let's return to your host, Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy, and welcome to the Bible Answer Man Facebook Live, joining or melding with the radio audience. I wish you could see one another, but you're on the same broadcast together. Today, of course, is Reformation Day, marking 500 years of debate between Protestants and Roman Catholics respecting a dichotomy between faith and works, a debate that could not so much as have been imagined in the Eastern Orthodox tradition. Indeed, St. Mark the Ascetic offers perhaps the clearest statement in early church literature demonstrating that believers are not made righteous by good works, rather that true faith will manifest itself in good works. And that without good works, one does not have genuine saving faith.
And in his treatise titled On Those Who Think They Are Made Righteous by Works, he achieves the balance between Jesus, Paul, and James. And this is the quote of the day. So when Scripture says, He will reward every man according to his works, and you find that in Matthew 16:27, don't imagine that works in and of themselves merit either hell or the kingdom. On the contrary, Christ rewards each person according to whether his works are done with faith or without faith in himself. And he is not a dealer bound by contract, but God our Creator, God our Redeemer. Those memorable words, the quote of the day, I think are important for us to grasp, particularly today, in that our faith is demonstrated by the works that we do. So again, I've said many times that we ought to focus on Ephesians 2, 8, 9, and 10. And that's worth memorizing as well. By the way, the quote of the day will be on the web at equip.org, but it's worth memorizing as well. You know, we are saved by God's grace through faith on account of Christ. For by grace we have been saved through faith, and that not on account of ourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. And then Paul goes on to talk about how we were appointed for good works. And in that way, Christ is manifest within us. So when we talk about works, remember that James said, we are saved by works and not by faith alone. But we're saved, in essence, by the faith that is demonstrated through the works that we do. So there's a kind of interesting issue raised by James, and that issue has been misunderstood in many, many ways. Martin Luther called the book of James an epistle of straw because he believed that we are a line. Faith is a line. It is alone in the German. And that faith that we believe in as Christians is always demonstrated by us reaching out to those who are needy, to those who are the downtrodden of the world. It is what Christ did. It is what the apostles did. It is what Christians have done throughout the centuries, and it is what we ought to do as well. But again, we are saved by God's grace through faith on account of Christ. There's nothing really that I can do to earn the relationship that I have with my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Well, we could say even broader, the relationship that we have with the Triadic One, because we've been brought into the fellowship of the Trinity. What an incredible thing to think that this is not just about a ticket that gets us out of hell. This is about getting us into the proper perspective of life within the Trinity, as Donald Fairbairn has been very prolifically saying in his works, Life Within the Trinity, a book that he wrote. We can experience life in the Trinity. I think it's the greatest thing that we can possibly imagine. It is, in fact, the very thing that has sustained me as I go through my own bout of cancer and I face the future. And the future is a very, very difficult thing for me to face. Right now, I'm talking about this week having a new port installed, which is an operation that'll happen. I'm going to do it early in the morning so I can do the Bible Answer Man broadcast and Facebook Live on Thursday. But that's something that I'm facing, and then I'm facing the prospect of 9 straight days of hyperchemo, where my immune system is completely gone. I'm in isolation, and then the recovery process. It's sort of like digging up the yard and resorting it, as opposed to just spraying weeds. So I'm facing that prospect, and it's quite frankly, a difficult pill to swallow. To use probably an unfortunate metaphor, but yet
we face the difficulties of life with peace in our hearts, with a song on our lips, because we are experiencing, even in isolation, the fellowship that we're designed to experience with the one God revealed in three persons, eternally distinct.
Yeah, and you can now have this opportunity to minister to other people that you wouldn't have been able to minister to had you not gone through this process. And that's the amazing thing, in that you have to step forward in faith and to follow Christ and to know, and people will know you in the hospital by your love, by how you love them, and be like, this guy's so happy and he has cancer, what's up? You know, and I hope that for you, that you can be that light for your nurses, for the people around you. And I'm really excited about that. And just being able to spend time with God. I mean, to think about it with a silver lining, I mean, you have a whole good chunk of time where you can just listen to scripture and just be forced to rest and spend time with God. So it's unfortunate in some senses, but in that sense, you're really going to be able to see him in a different way, I think, than you ever have before.
Well, that's encouraging, and it's absolutely true. I mean, that's really what we're talking about when we talk about fellowship in the Trinity. We were created for that very thing, and I'm going to have the opportunity to experience that very thing. A lot of people we ought to welcome to what we're doing on the Bible Answer Man broadcast as we do this on the Bible Answer Man Facebook page. Brandon Lewis Cremines, sorry if I butchered your last name. How about passing out tracts to fulfill the Great Commission? Yeah. I mean, look, we can use so many different ways to reach people. I think the one thing, however, that we don't want to do is we don't want to run around frantically grabbing people by the lapels and saying, brother, are you saved? I don't do that. Because I believe in equipping for evangelism. If you are prepared, God will give you opportunities, wherever it might be, in the highways or the byways. Could be in your own home. It could be with family members. It could be with friends. In the sphere of influence that God has given you, if you are equipped, maybe you're on an airplane, you have an opportunity. You don't have to, again, grab the person in the seat next to you and say, yeah, I got a captive audience, and then pummel them with the gospel. But you have to be equipped. And if you're equipped, God will give you opportunities. So I sit back and realize that I can testify by my love and by my life. And sometimes God gives me the opportunity to break the silence barrier and testify with my lips as well.
Yeah, and that's a huge part of that, is listening to the Holy Spirit. And really, you know, before you're considering handing out that pamphlet or talking to someone, really asking the Spirit to guide you and to show you what you could say that could be helpful. I mean, I used to do that when I was young. I used to ask people if they knew Jesus when I was like 9 or 10, and I would be so shaky and talking to these tall people, but they thought it was the cutest thing. And but talking about people that joined, my friend from Hong Kong just joined, Dylan, and my friend Stephanie from Hong Kong joined. So
oh, wow.
We got some people from Hong Kong joining in. That's why I gasped a little earlier. I just wanted to explain that. I was like really excited because they were some of my closest friends over there.
Wow, that's cool. It's so, I mean, this is unbelievable on the Facebook Live. It's incredible how many people, well wishes and questions coming in on Facebook Live. Maybe we can take a few more questions. Tristan Kapp, thanks, Hank. I appreciate the scripturally sound answers. It really enriches me, as I often get these same questions from atheists I chat with on my university campus. Yeah, I mean, atheism, the belief that there is no God, is simply untenable in an age of scientific enlightenment, because an atheist always has to say, nothing creates everything. Life comes from non-life, and the life that comes from non-life produces morals. Not only that, but an atheist cannot logically believe that there is any objective right or wrong. If everything is a function of brain chemistry and genetics, there is no such thing as right or wrong, good or bad. Alex Rosenberg, by the way, in a book on atheism, The Atheist Guide to Reality, I think it's called. In that book, he bites the bullet and he says, yeah, I mean, there is no such thing as right or wrong. History is meaningless. And he's teaching his students at Duke University this. You can imagine that if you're a student and you're told there is no such thing as right or wrong, good or bad, history doesn't really matter. Why do you do good things? Well, it might make you feel better than not doing good things, but there's no objective morality. And so now truth is in the eyes of the beholder. What does that create in cultures? It creates absolute chaos. In distinction to the atheistic worldview, we have a worldview in Christianity in which there is a supreme being, there is a God. And that God has given us a way not only to live, but a way to have life that is life to the full. We can experience the Lord Jesus Christ. Christ comes into our life. He's engrafted in our life, and he allows us to live our lives, not by might nor by power, but by his Spirit. We're out of time for this edition of the radio portion of our broadcast. Do remember, Monday through Friday at this time, your questions answered live when you dial 888-ASK-HANK. You can contact us on the web at equip.org, or you can talk to our resource consultants, 888-7000. And the letters C or I will continue a bit with our Facebook Live listeners on the Bible Answer Man Facebook page. So long for now to our radio.
Thank you for joining us today. Our mission at the Christian Research Institute is to equip Christians to think and to live Christianly. Did you know that the Quran and the Hadith are full of commands to subjugate or kill unbelievers, and that Sharia mandates proactive and perpetual war against Jews and Christians? In appreciation for your gift to help strengthen and expand the life-changing outreaches of CRI, Hank Hanegraaff would like to send you his new book, Muslim: What You Need to Know About the World's Fastest Growing Religion. Simply call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches. 888-7000-CRI or visit equip.org. You can also write CRI at Post Office Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina 28271. The Bible Answer Man broadcast is funded solely by listeners like you. We're on the air because life and truth matter. Has God spoken? Are the words of Scripture merely human in origin, or are they in fact the very words of God Himself? 3 years in the making, and based on two decades of research and reflection, Hank Hanegraaff's monumental book, Has God Spoken?, answers what is surely the most important question facing our world. In Has God Spoken? Memorable Proofs of the Bible's Divine Inspiration, Hank counters the contentions of the Bible attackers and clearly shows that belief in the Holy Scriptures is not a guess or wishful thinking. It is the only logical conclusion after an honest examination of overwhelming evidence. Order Has God Spoken? From the Christian Research Institute by calling 888-7000-CRI or go online to equip.org. Equip.org. So rapid and pandemic has been the decline of biblical literacy and spiritual discernment that our once unimaginable post-truth culture is effectively becoming an anti-truth culture. While the sun is setting on the Western Church, Islam is now the fastest growing religion in the world. This means that it's not simply enough to be aware of this threat. Christians need to wake up, stand up, and speak up. This means being able to counter the outright lies about Islam that otherwise will go unchecked with horrendous consequences. And that's what Hank Hanegraaff's book, Muslim: What You Need to Know About the World's Fastest Growing Religion, will enable you to do. To receive your copy as our appreciation for your financial partnership, call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's many outreaches. 888-7000-CRI. Or visit equip.org.